Hey everyone, it's Dr. Keys. Welcome to the Keys to Confidence podcast. I'm here with Shauna, my wonderful office manager, and we are excited to chat about all things skin, beauty, health, wellness, and to help unlock your inner confidence. If you have any questions you would like me to answer on future episodes, send us a DM on Instagram at KeysMD Cosmetic Clinic or email us at info@keysmd.ca and I'll try to answer as many as I can on upcoming shows. If you like what you hear, don't forget to share and subscribe so that you never miss another episode and to help us grow. Now let's get started.
Welcome to Keys to Confidence. I'm Shauna and I'm joined today by Dr. Keys. Dr. Keys, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. So we are finally into May after a long, cold winter.
Yeah, it's nice to finally have warmer weather. And May is a big month in skincare because it's Skin Cancer Awareness Month. So we have the changing seasons and we're getting longer days and more sun exposure. So it's definitely an important time for this industry and for skin cancer in general.
Yeah, for sure. Skin cancer is the most common of all cancer types. Actually, did you know that 1/3 of all new cases of cancer in Canada are skin cancer and the rate is continuing to rise?
Yeah, it is. It's becoming more frequent, unfortunately, which obviously tells us there's a lot more awareness that we could be providing to patients and the public in general.
Oh, for sure. And the amount of people getting skin cancer has been increasing in Canada at a fairly constant rate over the past 30 years. I mean, it is nice that we are bringing awareness to sun protection and sunscreen. So that is good. But based on current rates, 1 in 73 Canadian women will develop melanoma during their lifetime, while 1 in 59 Canadian men will develop the disease.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite serious. I mean, one in five people, 20% will get skin cancer during their lifetime. So, estimated that 1 in 5 people will get skin cancer and 1 Canadian dies of skin cancer every 7 hours and nearly 1 every hour in the United States.
Wow. That's a lot. I mean, with the numbers like that and the rate that skin cancer is rising, this is obviously a very important topic to discuss. When should people start getting skin screening?
Skin screening can pretty much start at any time. So anytime there's a concerning lesion, is a good time to go in and have it checked by your physician. So my daughter, for example, she has a couple moles and I'm not allowed to see her because she's family. So she sees a dermatologist once a year. So she's young. So that's a little more rare, but I would say, you know, anytime probably around 20 years of age, going about once a year for a skin checkup, skin screen is pretty standard. And then if there's anything that pops up that you're concerned about, would also be a good time.
Just a yearly checkup is what you're suggesting then.
Yeah, depending on how severe your case is. So some people, it might be every 2 or 3 years if there's not much going on. But if there's more concerning lesions that you want to follow, then it might be every 6 months or a little more frequently.
Good to know. What are the most common types of skin cancer?
Yeah, there's 3 main types. The most common type is basal cell carcinoma. And that's that one usually shows up as a flesh-colored, pearl-like bump on the skin. It's like a pinkish patch of skin. So those are most common in fair-skinned people. They develop after years of frequent sun exposure or indoor tanning. The thing with these, they don't really metastasize. That's not very common for them, but they do grow, and they can grow out of control, and they can grow deep. So although they're not spreading like a melanoma, they can penetrate deep into the skin and they can damage the nerves and bones and vessels and cause significant disfigurement. So that's why it's a little they're concerning and need to be spotted early.
They're actually pretty interesting and wild to see in real life. Are they all fatal, like skin cancer types?
No, these ones usually they can be detected, and that's why screening is so important. So it might look like a pimple or something that's just not healing. It's just not going away. So if you come in, these ones typically aren't going to be fatal. You just get that disfigurement in the area because they can just keep on growing. They don't just go away on their own. So typically not fatal, but still can be quite serious.
So next to basal cell carcinoma, is melanoma the most common? The next most common?
The next is squamous cell carcinoma, actually. So It's related to actinic keratosis. That's a precancerous lesion to squamous cell carcinoma. And typically those are on the hands and forearms and neck. It's just kind of a scaly patch of skin. And then the squamous cell carcinoma itself, it's a red firm bump, usually scaly again, a sore that it can heal and then it can reopen. So they can be pretty problematic as well.
So where would you typically see this type of skin cancer? Is it more serious than a basal cell?
Yeah, these are typically seen on the areas of skin where you get frequent sun exposures. So you'll see them on the rims of the ear or the neck, arms, the chest, the back. And it is more serious because these can actually metastasize and they spread via the lymphatic system. So these are the ones that you definitely want to check and catch early. And that's typically at the AK stage, the actinic keratosis, which is, as I was saying, the precancerous lesion to squamous cell carcinoma.
So besides the basal cell and the squamous, is melanoma the next most common?
It is. Melanoma is the next most common, and it's also the worst and most deadly form of skin cancer. So that is the one that is far more concerning and the one that needs to be screened for the most just because of the risk. And it can develop in a mole that you already have, which makes it a little harder to detect, or it can appear suddenly as a dark spot in the skin that looks different from some of the other ones.
Is there like a certain type of skin tone that is more prone to skin cancer for any of the three that you had listed?
Yeah, typically it's seen mostly in fair-skinned people, but it can affect any gender, race, age as well. So there's also a genetic component to it. So anyone with a first degree relative that's had melanoma is at a far greater risk of developing the disease as well.
And the term that dermatologists and family doctors use, ABCDEs of melanoma, what is that?
The ABCDEs of melanoma, that's a screening tool, basically looking for the warning signs of melanoma. So These are things that I think a lot of people know, or at least they're aware of what the ABCDEs are. But first, the first one, A, is asymmetry. So one half doesn't look like the other. So one side is light and the other side is dark. It looks different. It doesn't look uniform all the way through. B is for the border. So you get this irregular scallop shape or poorly defined border. So if you look at most moles on your skin, they're nice and uniform and round, and those typically are less concerning. And then C is for color. So you get varied color, as I was kind of saying, with asymmetry. Might be dark on one side or black. Can even be red or blue or white. Then it might be a light tan on the other part. D is for diameter. So typically a melanoma is going to be 6 millimeters or bigger. So that's about the size of a pencil eraser. So anything bigger than that size or larger is going to be a little bit more concerning. And then E is for evolving. So the mole or skin lesion looks different from the rest. It's changing. It's changing in size, shape, or color. So that's another reason why you really want to monitor these and even take pictures of them. That's usually what I tell patients to do, if they can take a picture of it so they have something like a baseline they can compare it to in the future.
And then just have like maybe someone, like a friend, a partner, a family member, just kind of look over your back as well. I find that for me, most of my sun damage and growths are on my back. So that's a place that a lot of people can't see. Would you just suggest something along the lines of that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can do body checks with your partner or family member, like you're saying. They have body mole maps as well. So you could download this on the internet where it kind of lays it out for you. There's a picture of the body and a head, and basically has the ABCDEs, and you can just fill them in and then do that, you know, whether it's once every couple of months, every 2 or 3 months, you could just keep monitoring that and writing it down and seeing if there's any change.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't realize that they had stuff like that now. I kind of want to curve to a different outlook on skin cancer. What are your thoughts on tanning beds?
Love them. They're the best. Yeah. Yeah. I tan weekly in a tanning bed.
I can tell.
With my white pasty skin right now.
Yeah.
No, tanning beds, that's kind of a thing of the past. They're really not used that often, or they shouldn't be used as often. And they are decreasing in use with more education and knowledge that we're getting out to the public. But no, the World Health Organization has declared indoor tanning devices to be cancer-causing agents that are in the same category as like cigarettes, tobacco. So, I mean, if that doesn't tell you something, you know, it's quite severe and serious. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely outdated. And not to mention they're not the most clean place ever either. Yeah. So if it's not the skin cancer, it should be the fungus for you to not go into the skin, the tanning beds.
That's right. There's always a risk of that too. So some studies actually found that there's a 59% increase in the risk of melanoma in those that have done indoor tanning before the age of 35. So, I mean, basically 60% increase is quite significant. So that's enough for me to stay away from them.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the early 2000s, like everyone was in the tanning beds. I definitely went through a phase of that, and you will never see me in another tanning bed. So now that the world is kind of getting back to more traveling, I do still hear from people that they are going to a tanning bed to pre-tan before their vacation. What are your thoughts and opinions on that?
Absolutely. I do it myself. That's actually true. I did do that myself when I was younger and was not as wise as I am now, but we've all heard that. I mean, definitely, my friends did it. I did it back when I was like a teenager before going away, but no, that is not true. And that does not help. So it's kind of a waste of time. And, so getting a tan this way, it provides a protection that's equivalent to an SPF of about 2 to 4. So, I mean, if that tells you something, it's basically doing nothing for you. So just wearing good sunscreen and doing that properly is going to be far better than the risk of going to a tanning bed.
And I always say that to patients too. Like, I feel like there's some sort of misconception between wearing sunscreen and wearing like tanning oil, for instance. People refuse to wear sunscreen because they want to obviously get a tan, but you will still get a tan by wearing sunscreen. It's just going to be less harsh on your skin.
Yeah. You're blocking out the UVB rays, the bad rays that cause skin burns. So, you're still going to get a tan, but, we're trying to avoid the burn, which is a little more serious, of course.
For sure. So just wrapping up here, do you have any simple tips or tricks for preventing skin cancer?
The tips or tricks? Well, I guess prevention is key. I mean, it's always going to be the most important thing, prevention, and then skin screenings. So if you see anything concerning, have it checked out. For prevention, of course, you got to wear a water-resistant broad-spectrum sunscreen with an SPF of 30 at least. We want to stay away from tanning beds.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I was saying, with checking your skin regularly, if you notice any spots, whether they're new or existing, that changes, it's itching, it's bleeding, then it's time to see your doctor.
So I know we are going to be talking about sunscreen on our next podcast, but is there a sunscreen that you would recommend to our listeners?
Really any sunscreen that works best for you. There's so many different ones, and depending on your skin type, you know, there's going to be different options for sure. But the most important thing is it's broad spectrum. So that's targeting UVA and UVB rays and not just one or the other. And as long as it's 30 SPF 30 and above, that's going to be most important and protective for the most part.
So that was a great discussion, Dr. Keys. You can join us for our next episode, which will be about sunscreen. Thank you so much for listening today. I look forward to our next podcast, Dr. Keys.
I do as well. Thank you for listening.
Have a good week.
If you have any questions you would like me to answer on future episodes, send us a DM on Instagram at KeysMD Cosmetic Clinic or email us at info@keysmd.ca, and I'll try to answer as many as I can on upcoming shows.
If you like what you hear, don't forget to share and subscribe so that you never miss another episode and to help us grow.